Hi, I'm Erin, manager of SiteSell's five-pillar affiliate program. I'm very excited to introduce Ken Evoy, founder and chairman of the board here at SiteSell, as well as Sean Collins, affiliate marketing visionary and co-founder of Affiliate Summit, the leading industry conference for affiliate marketing. Ken is the creator of SiteBuildIt, also known as SBI, the only all-in-one, step-by-step e-business building system that helps people build successful online businesses. Sean runs AffiliateTip.com, where he blogs about all things affiliate marketing, and he's also co-editor-in-chief at FeedFront, Affiliate Summit's official magazine. Ken and Sean are going to talk today about the pros and cons of blogging versus building a theme-based content site. So at this time, I invite you to grab a favorite beverage, turn up the volume, and get ready to take notes. Ken and Sean, the floor is all yours.
Thanks a lot, Erin. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing great. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing well, thank you. I was just wondering how far back you go. I started around 96, 97. It seems to me you started around the same time.
Yes, my first affiliate site was sometime around the summer of 97, and then I got a job as an affiliate manager in November of 97, so that was when I got all my start, back when it was a whole lot tougher to find the resources.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was we're almost dinosaurs. The landscape has changed so much, but you've been doing an admirable job keeping up as we age.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I was thinking about earlier today was how one of the first things I read back then was your first book, so that was helpful for me back in the 90s. Speaking
when
of resources,
internet.com.
Yeah, I was at they had a property called Referrit, one of the first search engines for directories.
That's amazing. A walk down memory lane. Things have come so far since Make Your Site Sell. So what are we talking about today?
I guess just about different ways to refer affiliates to create sites these days, and different opportunities, different options that are out there.
Okay. I think it's still one of the most interesting topics is blogging or build a site. Certainly, I'd say a good part of the affiliate world, if anything, has gone to blogging. Although I've always sort of started from the other way around. Not so much, don't define yourself as how you want to monetize. Define yourself. If you're starting a business from scratch, if you have a pre-existing small business offline or whatever, that's a different story. But if you're looking to start a business online, really, what is it that you know and love? And even with all the changes that have happened since the days of Make Your Site Sell, there's really been one major, really major, substantial change. If you had asked me 10 years ago, what do people use the web for? They search for information, and they still do today. I think the really major change is a second answer to that, is that, they socialize. But socialization, really, what does that mean to an online business? It augments your business. You can't build a business as a Facebook page, just too risky. Really, no monetization goes on a Facebook page. So we're still, 13, 14 years later, talking about building a website or creating a blog. Blogs are, I think, excellent for two major types of models. If you want to do a news-oriented type of business, I subscribe to at least 200 blogs. I love them. I get pour through them every day, and they keep me up to date on what our business is all about. So those folks deliver one of two things, either just news, with perhaps their spin on it, if they really add some extra value. For a lot of them, it's a race to the first to be out to reproduce what Google has just blogged about as an announcement. But the good ones, add something extra. And then the editorializers, the people like Seth Godin. Like Seth, short, pithy-type commentary on maybe several times per day. Or just, the thinker who has new perspectives on things. And those folks also are useful for me. To challenge my thinking, to realize that somebody sees something that I didn't, and how do we integrate that into our product. So I think those are really the two big uses for blogs. For the average person, I think it makes more sense to create an evergreen content site. You know, it's still the good old-fashioned site from 1997. With, of course, newer technologies integrated into it, there's no reason that a good content site doesn't use RSS to push the latest pages out or updated pages out. Doesn't use social media to, I mean, should use social media to augment the business. But somebody who loves, for example, you know, Anguilla, to take the obvious example of my daughter who loved Anguilla and started 9 years ago when she was 14 years old, Daddy, could I use your software to build a website about Anguilla? Or whether your expertise is pool maintenance or asphalt maintenance or, you know, whatever it may be. There's an endless number of niches and they're just growing. To create a body of work that is in your voice, from your brain, correctly organized, structured for two audiences, of course. First and foremost, something we've always said, please the visitor. But as well, structured accordingly so that the engines will regard you well. You know, as we predicted many, many years ago, more and more off-page criteria are becoming important. But the off-page criteria are generated by delivering terrific original content in your own voice. Once you have that, you pre-sell your audience, and then and only then really are you ready to monetize. The monetization plan, though, should have been decided before you write your first word. And affiliate marketing, 13 years later, is as strong as ever, as valid as ever a concept. I think people understand the basic concept of diversification. So, yeah, you know, mix in a little AdSense, write an e-book. I think those are, you know, certainly AdSense and affiliate are probably the big two of most bloggers. Websites probably have a little bit more room to diversify into other types of models as well. But the affiliate monetization model, if anything, aside from, of course, you know, some worrisome legislation in the States, is as strong and as valid as ever. Your comments on that?
I totally agree with you. One thing I think that I've run into with a lot of people who are aspiring affiliates is that they look at a platform like WordPress and they just think of it as a place for bloggers. And I've used it. At some point, I guess a few years ago or so, I transitioned all of my what were formerly static HTML sites that were my affiliate sites. I moved them all to WordPress. And they're not necessarily blogs. I use it just as a content management system. So I use their, instead of the posts on there, I use the pages to create sites. So I think that's one thing there where people, if they want to have a content site, there's no reason to be struggling in doing manual pages anymore if anybody is actually doing that.
Absolutely. There's, you know, there's always been site builders. Site builders. I can remember when there was a Big Step. Do you remember Big Step?
No.
A rather sophisticated site builder with an automatically generating to-do list, very impressive piece of software. WordPress tend to think of WordPress still as blogging software. When it becomes a site building software, well, that's what it is. It's another site building software. And I think the trouble, whether you're talking about Weebly or Yola, or WordPress, or any CMS system, is it's a very small part of what is a much bigger process when your goal is to build a business. And that's where people really get hammered. You know, it's easy to get that page up. It's kind of like starting a long journey. And when you start with a CMS and you've been told it's fast and easy and free, although you're going to end up paying, you know, $100 for your domain and hosting per year right off the bat, you kind of like see the first bend in a journey and you think, well, that's the journey. And then you realize it's kind of like when we first did Site Build It and the original software was the site building software, some search engine tracking software, a couple other modules, but we didn't have the first half of the process, which was really the detailed keyword analysis, competitor analysis with all the tools necessary. And when we launched that half, my goodness, I'd say at least half of our customers came and said, I realized I chose the wrong niche. You know, so it's a journey that you start off and you're getting to the first corner, and then you see just around that first corner there's four forks. There's a couple of bandits, you know, the get-rich-quick guys that are ready to take your money. There's a couple of hills up ahead, and there's three more bends around the curve. So you're discovering more gurus, some of which, like I said, are get-rich-quick guys, many of which have good things to say, but they have opposing opinions. So you're figuring out content. You're figuring out, you know, reams of tools for every possible function you could possibly want. And this journey that looks so quick and easy starts getting more and more complicated. You know, and people often think about plugins as kind of like a panacea, but plugins is basically, you know, a new kind of software. Many of them written by, you know, one guy at home, and that break when the next version of WordPress comes out. So more research that you've got to do to try and find the best plugin, the best keyword researcher, the best this, the best that, instead of just getting down to it and focusing on, geez, I really know and love Anguilla, and I want to build a website about Anguilla that's going to turn into a business that's going to ultimately, I mean, you may be a mom that wants to add $500 a month to the family income, or you may want to be, you may want to quit your day job, or you may have already been downsized from your day job, and you need to be building up something that's going to give you some level of independence. But whatever the goals are, you should be focusing immediately on that business. You know, like looking at your niche, fitting it into affiliate programs. I mean, you should know your affiliate programs before you've written your first word. I mean, not cast in stone. As you start writing your site, as you start organizing from homepage to your tier twos, and then through to your tier threes, things will start to morph. But you should have a good idea of your voice, your unique value proposition that your content is delivering. You should be able to communicate that well with originality. Ultimately, that's what creates, you know, stickers, the people who become fans, who subscribe to your RSS feed, your zine, who like you at Facebook and basically follow you that way. There's so many ways now to develop people who like what you have to say, that are your core, that spread the word about you, that monetize, as well, of course, as just obviously generating a steady stream of first-time visitors through being found at search engine. You know, I don't know if you remember, Sean, that first book I wrote, Make Your Site Sell, you know, I think I talked then about search engines being like the bargain literally of the millennium. Who else gives you free traffic, free targeted traffic? You know, still true today. People still will complain when, you know, Google changes its algorithm and they get hit, and, you know, that's part of it. But if you stick with the basic concept of keep it real, add value, you know, your chances of getting hit by an algorithm change really reduce. If you play games, I don't know how many times I've railed against things like, you know, article marketing, the latest and greatest thing that sometimes they start out with a kernel of goodness or reasonableness, but they're so easy to do that they quickly become abused, and then finally Google will release a panda. If you stay instead with just the original concept of keeping it real, adding value, over-delivering for what that searcher of information wants, that's what Google wants. If they have a happy searcher, you have a happy Google. And that steady stream of new visitors who discover you and a steady building of people who love you and follow you one way or another or multiple ways turns into, from pre-selling, what we call to monetization. By then, it's simply a question of plugging in those affiliate programs. And along the way, of course, you find more and more, plugging in some AdSense. I'm a firm believer in diversification, you know, as many different types of monetization models. That makes sense. I mean, don't diversify just to diversify if it's not earning anything. And, of course, within the affiliate model, diversify also among three or four strong, related, ideally, you know, sort of non-competing type of products, so that you're not really stuck on any one monetization model, and you're not really stuck on any one monetization model. But the basics really stay the same over all this time, but the fine points and big things, big changes like social media, they don't change the game. They fit well into it. And you just have to learn how to figure all that out. I think that's one of the big problems with CMS is all of that stuff from the building of content, to monetization has to be figured out. Tools have to be found. It all has to be integrated. You know, make your site sell. You said, you know, you were one of the first to read that. We did a survey many years into Make Your Site Sell. This was before our main product. And what we found was a very low percentage of very smart people, people just like you, and I'm not blowing, you know, hot air. They're just people who get it, who they're really smart, they're intuitive, they can read the information, which is delivered chapter style like a book is, as opposed to step-by-step style. And they take it and they run with it, and they just keep growing way beyond, you know, what Make Your Site Sell foresaw. And they're usually in the internet marketing realm, or something to do with building businesses online. The vast majority of people, the people who just, you know, raise turtles for a living, or they learned a lot about something on the job, or they love a certain spot like Barcelona. For these folks, we saw very few businesses getting built along that line. And that's when we decided, you know, it really requires step-by-step process and information with all the tools necessary on where folks get blocked and constant updating so that they don't have to spend their time on that. They, you know, it blows me away what you do in a day. You know, I can't believe the number of things that you do, the various sites, the summit seminars, the affiliate seminar. I mean, it's staggering. That's just, and along the way, the things that you know that you've learned, that you've figured out, that you've discarded, that you've kept, that's just way beyond 97% of people. And that's where most CMSs fail most people. There are a small number of people who get it, learn it, and figure it all out. I just try to set up, you know, my first daughter, oldest daughter, has a site in Anguilla, and an opportunity came up when we were first coming online to buy a family of sites that were the sites all about Anguilla, news.ai. I mean, I was in agony trying to figure out how to find the best plugins, needed to customize some PHP, which template would be the best one to use. Finally just, you know, sort of cheated and went in-house and got one of the guys from in-house to accept me up something simple that respected the old guys, the old site's look and feel, the old blog, and we did blog. And, you know, it's, you know, people think Ken Evoy is anti-blogging, and you know, nothing's further from the truth. This was news.ai, and this guy was a smart, intuitive guy who blogged before it was called blogging. It was a journal about Anguilla. It was about the only really site of any type of – it was the only site about Anguilla. And he owned everything that had to do about Anguilla at search engines. And he got tired of it in 2002. It dwindled off in 2003, and he stopped in 2004. It's a unique snapshot of digital Anguilla from 95 to 2004. We bought what was a site back then, although, you know, he did it as a blog. I mean, no comments, trackback, or anything like that, but you know what I mean, journal style. We decided to keep that kind of concept since my daughter's site has the overall evergreen content, theme-based content site covered, and I went to WordPress. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It is ideal for a news-oriented site. The basic idea, again, you know, you got to find your own little spin. This is just about the little things that make Anguilla, Anguilla. And it's not meant to occupy a lot of her time. She's really busy at school. But I can't really see the average person taking a CMS like WordPress and learning everything else that's necessary. I think the internet marketing business, that industry in general, way overestimates the average person. I think a lot of professionals who aren't at your caliber, but try and make a living at internet marketing, way overestimate themselves. And they may know a ton more than, you know, say our customers, but they don't know the stuff that's necessary to build a business that's going to earn a substantial income on a long-term basis. So it's interesting, actually, that we started with MYSS, and if you look at all the changes since 97 from, you know, I mean, just a little highlights, you know, like blogging and RSS, and how do you integrate that so that the average person doesn't have to worry about RSS and figuring that stuff out. It's been an interesting journey, and the more complicated it gets, the more I think people really need the type of package that's going to deliver traffic that they can monetize. And that it's interesting that the major monetization models, AdSense is one of the ones that came along. Everybody takes AdSense for granted. It's like the way our kids take McDonald's for granted. But, you know, we were there before AdSense existed. And when Google launched that, it was as if they had written – I couldn't have gone in with a better spec as a starting monetization model. I think if you're a smart affiliate marketer, you can make more money doing it that way. I think creating your own products like e-goods, if you are a natural, you know, somebody who builds your own hard goods, and we have customers who do that. You, again, have an alternate monetization model, services. But the good old standard, affiliate marketing, is, I would say, stronger than ever. I mean, what are your comments on that?
Yeah, I guess my one real clear measure for it is just having done my Affiliate Summit Conference in 2003, and we've just consistently grown every year, so I see more and more affiliate marketers coming out to that each year. We're, back when we first did it, we had 200 people turn out, and now we're looking this coming January to have about 5,000. And certainly the...
Oh, staggering.
Yeah, the whole industry is certainly exponentially bigger than that, but that's, I guess that sort of represents that top percent, 1% or whatever, that are really making out well and can afford to do the travel and everything. But there's such a huge layer below that of people that are either getting into it or doing well, or and just maybe they have a full-time job and can't make it out to conferences. But just the sheer growth there indicates to me that even with the bad economy, that it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
And again, you know, one person who used to be, and I'm sure you know her well, used to be our five-pillar affiliate manager, Lisa Irby.
Yeah.
You know, Lisa's a natural. She was a small affiliate. And when she applied for the job at Sitesell, I mean, I was just blown away by how clever she is. And again, somebody who, you know, just inhales information, integrates it, gets rid of the bad stuff, holds on to the good stuff. She's one of our top earning affiliates. And literally outgrew us. I mean, we just couldn't pay her compared to what she was earning from us alone as an affiliate, let alone the other programs that she represents. And, you know, she has a site that she does very well with at SiteBuildIt as a, you know, as a typical kind of a – she started as an experiment just to get to know it, and it's grown into something that she does well with. And her main business, generally related to Internet marketing and creating websites, how do you stand out in that crowded field? You stand out by being excellent. I mean, our basic advice to our customers is don't go there. It is a tough, crowded field. It has grown enormously, like you say, over the years. Be an affiliate, but don't define yourself by being an affiliate marketer. You know, offline, you know, we're doctors, we're this, we're that. We do kind of define ourselves by how we make our money. But online, it's not how the world works. People still search for information, and they will be doing that 10 years from now. They may be doing it by voice, but nonetheless, there'll be technology behind it that's still delivering the best sites for Anguilla Hotels. And there'll still be affiliate marketing because companies like ours and just about every other company in the world needs people who can generate traffic to refer them the business. I'd love to see, you know, the dark side of affiliate marketing curtailed, as I'm sure you would, people who recommend bad products purely for, you know, an overhyped commission. That's one of my still pet peeves. But that's true in, I think, just about any area, and I would hate to see regulation come in to do that. I'd like to see a self-policing kind of a thing come in. Any comments or ideas on that?
Yeah, I think certainly it's tough to stand out. And one thing I've noticed over the years is that people seem to have – it's sort of rare that they have a skill set where they can both turn out quality content that's unique as well as knowing how to market it. And so I seem to meet a lot of people that are good at one or the other. So I think there's certainly a need out there for people that want to really excel to master both sides of that ball there. And I came into affiliate marketing – with no marketing background, but I love writing. And so over time, it's been a sort of a slow learn just because all the emerging technologies over the years, but I was jumped into each new technology or marketing opportunity as it existed, so I was sort of fortunate to get in on the ground. But I think a lot of people now, they walk into it, and it's overwhelming to see whether they should have email with their affiliate site or work with different social media and how they should do it, how they should try to get indexed organically. I think it's a pretty big learning curve when you first walk into there.
It's a massive learning curve, and we were actually talking about that the other day. A lot of people, you know, think our foundation product, and it's the number one reason for refunds. You know, I mean, we're very open with our guarantee. It's like just try it. I mean, you don't like it in 90 days, we'll refund you. And by far, the most common reason to refund is too much work. And we talk about that, and we say, you know what we do? We show them the whole journey. They see it all, from the keyword brainstorming, competitive research, domain selection, homepage, voice, value proposition, the whole, we sort of break it down into 10 metaphorical days, if you will. But when you see the entire journey ahead of you, it's kind of like driving from New York to Los Angeles, and you just go, man, that's a monster trip. This is related to what we were just talking about, CMSs. Getting started with a WordPress or a Weebly or a Yola, whether it's a blog or a website, and you just get started on something and you put up a page, that's kind of like driving from maybe New York to the next 50-mile stop. And then you realize, this was the wrong direction. And then you discover something about keyword research. And then you discover something a little bit more. And then you find out about Sean Collins, who knows a lot about affiliate marketing. You go, okay, fine, I got a keeper over here. But you go through a lot of bad guys, a lot of guys who are just regurgitating. What you want are the original thinkers, not the regurgitators. I mean, I can't tell you how many people took Make Your Site Sell and basically regurgitated stuff. You know, you, Alan Gardine, and a lot of other people who went on to become big names in their respective fields took it and just from there just exploded and went off on their own way. And, you know, for the average person, what you just outlined was exactly, and you're not average, the three major things we call BAM, brain, attitude, motivation. Brain is like a knowledge, a predisposition. You have to come in knowing something about something. And you already knew how to write well, which is an advantage, although people can learn how to write well. We're not writing fiction here. It's nonfiction. Everybody talks. If you can talk, you can write, basically, is what I say. And when we put out a booklet to that effect for our customers, we really saw a lot of people relaxing on that issue. But knowing something about something and being you don't have to be the world authority, but you do have to know more than the person who's searching for information, whether it's Anguilla or Raising Turtles. Attitude. There's people who just have a negative attitude. I've never heard, the times that we've talked, you're never discouraged, you're never cynical. I mean, I'm sure there's days you get down, but the overall attitude is always up. You know, people who expect to succeed, not unrealistically, but who are positive, I mean, that carries them so much further than people who just simply are cynical, are down in the mouth, pessimistic, and yet there's an amazing number of people like that who want to start businesses online. And the last one is motivation. If you don't have the motivation, the real drive to want to build that business, I mean, you don't have the persistence necessary to stick it out, because people somehow think building a business online, it's a lot lower risk, for sure. I mean, if I was going to start something, it would be an online business as opposed to risking a few a few hundred thousand dollars in inventory and, a year's worth of rent up front and building a physical structure and so forth and so on. The opportunities online are wonderful, whether you want to do something fairly straightforward and doable, like a content site or like a blog, or you want to do a full-blown startup. It just makes so much more sense to start something online as opposed to offline. You just elaborated the three key criteria that, if you do a self-audit and you don't know something about something, you're not generally a positive person and you're not motivated, watch TV. you'll be happier in the long run. You see too many, especially, you go through too many forums where you just see people who are just, they're slamming other people. They're obviously unhappy people. And that's just, it's sad to see. And you check their sites, if they even list their site in their profile, over at Compete and Alexa and the traffic metric site. And you just go, man, these guys talk up a big storm, but they're not doing much business. They say all the right words. They may not use them well. They may be wrong, but they sure sound knowledgeable. More important to know the right stuff, to follow the right people, to have defined the proper monetization models, to keep it real and add value to the people who find you through Google and the other search engines, and you're going to build a long-term, long-standing business.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that I was just thinking about was, with all the talk about the CMS and I guess WordPress in particular, you're mentioning some of the bad elements in the industry. One thing that I like, for to a large degree, WordPress has been a blessing to me because it's really made my day more efficient and the ability to scale up the sites that I run. But I, it's also been sort of a big negative for the industry as far as the affiliates, because it's open source there, that people can create those plugins to have all kinds of auto posts and spinning articles and all that junk. So I guess it's sort of a blessing and a curse that WordPress came along, and I wish there was some way to stop those guys.
Yeah, I think Google's certainly working harder and harder at doing it. You know, pre-Panda, they released a major anti-duplicate algorithm. It never got the glory of having a name, but not too many people really realize that. But during end of December, January, there was a major anti-duplicate. And people will still say, oh, but there's still a site that's copying me, it ranks ahead of me. You know, it's like, okay, one out of how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of pages. You know, I'm a criticizer of, I think, Google and how they do business and communicate, but I'm not a criticizer of Google, the search engine. I think the engine has gotten better. Obviously, without it, the web would be completely unusable with these lowlifes that just spam, blog, regurgitate, spin other people's content. I think Google is getting better and better and will simply continue to get better. And that's an example, you know, keep it real. The people that I really dislike are the people who sell the software to the unsuspecting person on that long journey. And they fall for it, and they go off for a couple years. You know, blogging was big, I guess, up until about May 2010, when, again, a little-known release by Google really slams bloggers. You know, bloggers are, you know, the zillions of little mini blogs, spam blogs, supported with yet more fake content that LinkedIn and that tried to rank for keywords purely because they paid something at AdSense. There are folks with like 800 domains, that of which some of them probably made some dollars, but nobody ever talked about it. You know, the conversations were muted because nobody wanted to let you know what they were doing, or what, because everybody would copy each other. Horrible type of community. And ultimately, Google, you know, just got on top of that and pretty much closed it down. The major gurus went away. So, you know, it's always going to be a battle of the bad guys versus Google trying to keep it clean. Panda, with, you know, the e-house of the world, the content farms. I mean, I think I'd been railing about that for, well, even before content farms were content farms, and in the form of article marketing. And it finally just got to the point where it was so insane. That's generally the point. You know, much like the stock market, when everybody's sure the market's going to go up forever, that's pretty much the time when it's going to crash. And when the very last person gets completely depressed about the future of the economy, and that may be years from now, you know, it will turn around. Well, the same thing, when content farms just looked like they were going to own the web and the pressure just got so high on Google, I mean, they finally came out with Panda. I think it was a rushed kind of release because there were so many false positives. There were good sites that got nailed. I don't think we've ever seen so many sites complaining, and some of them legitimately didn't deserve to complain, but a lot of them really had quality sites. And, you know, they'll start to recover, and the algorithm, as it gets refined, will simply, but overall, Google's a better engine for it, and will continue to get better and better. But it goes back to, again, same old values. Keep it real. Don't do things to fool Google. If your entire market, doesn't matter if you're a big company, look at the company, the parent company of eHow. I'm tipping my tongue.
I forget.
Demand Media? Anyway, they went public, and the whole model built around this and got slammed, right? So it's, while the basics are the same, it does get more and more complex. And somebody like you can do a lot with a good CMS, but if I was going to tell an affiliate marketer who's just getting into the business, just starting to figure it out, should I be blogging or should I be building a theme-based content site? I mean, no question about it. You should be building a theme-based content site. The traffic, the nature of blogging, I mean, I think Google said it in their own, Google Analytics 101 thing they put out there on April, March 2008, somewhere around there. You know, blogs have high bounce rates no matter what. Normal visitor behavior is to read the newest post and leave. That's pretty much the quote as I remember it. And your traffic is more limited when you blog on a given topic that you may know about. Some topics don't really do well at all with blogging. They're not appropriate for it. They're not a fast-moving, changing type of commentary-related type of topic. Bloggers, and that's why blogging also generally tends to get a smaller share of Google's universal search. There are way more blogs than theme-based content sites nowadays. But when you Google for most, you know, information, the type of thing that a typical surfer, not an internet marketer, but a typical surfer might search, like Anguilla, they generally turn up content sites. If something happens to be topical, if there's news or something happening, then for a while there'll be a couple of inserts from a blog or from a news site. There may even be a tweet or a Facebook post. But you know, in order of topicality, you know, tweets come and go the fastest, Facebook posts, blogs, and content sites have the longest-term momentum to them, properly constructed. While somebody like you can just take a WordPress and just go out and build something very cost-effectively, imagine, again, starting over from scratch and having to learn everything. If you happen to know an awful lot about affiliate marketing, well, I guess that's an oxymoron because you wouldn't know a lot about affiliate marketing but not know a lot about everything else. Let's say if you happen to know an awful lot about raising turtles and that's what you wanted to build a terrific little content site about and earn some income through AdSense affiliates, then it was just going to be a hobby that made you some money. There's a massive learning curve for that. That just goes way beyond using any CMS system. You know, the CMS, people think build a site equates building an e-business or earning income through affiliate or any model, and it just doesn't. That's probably about, it's probably about 60%, 70% of the actual work, of the actual time, but it's probably about 10% of the importance of all the other stuff you also have to get right. You know, you have to get an awful lot of other things nailed down and correct. It takes time to write great content. It takes me a lot of time to write a really good article. The amount that you put out blows me away. And it's high quality material. It's not just churn. I think you're one of the most prolific writers out there. But for the average person, content building is one part of it. It's the most important part of it. But the actual work, the actual sort of using of a tool to put up the content, it's secondary to actually the material that you just wrote. We're excited because we're about to release Block Builder 2. I don't know if you've ever used our main product, but Block Builder 1 was one of the very first, was probably the first module written 10 years ago when Site Builder came out. And while an awful lot has come up and sprung around it, including, you know, major enhancements to the brainstorming tools and all those, we're still using the same old Block Builder of 10 years ago. Now, people can upload their own HTML and so forth and so on. But, you know, over the years, you know, we've added anything from image search to socializer, the social media tools, the ever-progressive brainstorming tools, content 2.0, which enables your visitors not just to comment, but to actually create honest-to-goodness content, which has been a tremendous boon for our customers. It really pushes, you know, way beyond blogging in terms of enabling people to write wonderful stories about their honeymoon in Anguilla, their way of correcting, you know, fixing up this disease in your baby turtle or whatever. But the good old Block Builder is still there. And so about 2.5-3 years ago and about $3.5-4 million later, the marching instructions for the programmers were take a look at everything that's out there, keep up to date with everything that's out there, and build something that's going to leapfrog. And we're about a month away from launching Block Builder 2. And it is going to be the single best CMS system in the world. It's absolutely incredible. What the guys have done, I mean, the problems that we've had to solve and figure out as a small company, as a doctor, as my background, and to the point now where, you know, there's a professional CEO that runs the company and handles things that just, you know, I wouldn't have the patience or the ability to manage in the growing of a business. No longer meet with the techs who, you know, it's a guy who really knows how to run programs and the hiring of top-notch programmers. You know, our programmers can work you know, for Google or Yahoo or just about, you know, anybody in the world. They're just outstanding. They love the mission. They love what we're doing. They love that our product changes lives. And they're going like nonstop to get this out by the first, second week of December. But this 10-year-old block builder has been enabling people to, you know, turn out high-quality content pages that build traffic. The new one, of course, is going to have all, you know, all the advantages that you talk about. But the important stuff is still the material you actually write, not the tool, and getting everything else around it correct, not falling for the wrong guru who spews the wrong stuff like blogging. And the number of people got hurt by that was just horrible. And buying the wrong tool and wasting time and, you know, spend thousands of dollars on tools. And it probably takes, I would say, starting from scratch for the average person, the real journey, instead of the little corner around the bend that they see when they start with a CMS, is probably more like a 3 or 4 year journey for the average person, and he may not still then put it all together correctly, and certainly thousands of dollars. That's the 98% of the Make Your Site Sell folks that we didn't reach. The folks who, the smart guys, and I won't name them all, but just about, you know, just about every major guru of the time for the following 5 or 6 years had started with Make Your Site Sell, which is a point of pride, but I think a point of shame is that the average person never really, and by that I don't mean, you know, average in a derogatory way, just the everyday person who is not a tech. There's no reason why software shouldn't be able to handle all the barriers, all the tedium, all the hard parts, so that they can focus on one thing, what they know, turning it into a business. And in that, of course, at the end of every business is monetization, but it should be decided in early days, before, like I said, before you've written your first word. And it still fascinates me that every time there's a major change, people talk about the death of what came before. How long have people been talking about the death of email? Right?
Yeah,
email,
sure.
Was, of course, the first killer app of the Internet. It's still a basic of net marketing. You know, you should still have an e-zine because there are people who actually like to get their communication by email. And my first lesson was before we did SiteSell. And the first product that we ever sold, which was how I cut my teeth, and it was just an experiment, wondering if you could actually sell something, and it was an e-good, a piece of software. And I decided, no, they're not going to fax in an order. I mean, heck, they're just going to fill in a form. They had to sign a non-disclosure because there was unique information in this product. But they're going to fill in a form, and they're just going to send in a form. And I didn't even know that, now defunct, it might have been WebCrawler, had picked up the website. And I'm sitting working at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the fax machine starts whirring. And it's an order, the very first order, for this first piece of software that I had written. And from Sarnia, Ontario, I figured 3 o'clock in the morning, he's got to be up, unless, you know, the fax came in. I called a guy. I said, I got to know one thing. Why did you fax your order? You know what he said?
What's that?
I like paper. I put back on the ability to order by fax, by phone. And I mean, you know, people still like to get email. The death of email is a long time away, if ever. The death of the web. Remember Wired magazines, the death of the web? I mean, the fact that everybody's now into apps does not mean everybody's into apps. It means that the use of the Internet is expanding. And the apps are getting a bigger share of that pie. Mobile search, getting a share of that pie. But it's not a static pie. The pie is growing astronomically. So, you know, the good old website and the good old blog is stronger than ever. There are more of them. I don't mean more just of the bloggy type of stuff that you were talking about, but there are more good websites, there are more good blogs than ever, and they get collectively more traffic than ever. They're just sharing a much bigger pie with a lot of other different major trends that are happening. You know, I mean, certainly local is a major trend, and I think that's finally well underway. You know, that we've been probably calling for about 8 or 9 years way too soon, social and mobile. But they're not the death of anything. It's really a question of how does each piece fit into what our customer is doing, building a business through a successful, highly trafficked website. I'd like to hear your comments.
Yeah, one thing I think is that whenever somebody calls for the death of something, it's because they just couldn't figure it out. I had a comment on my blog yesterday from a guy who was saying that he was surprised at a stat I shared about the number of people that are using PPC. He's saying that people have told him that you can't make any money with PPC and affiliate links. And I said, you're talking to the wrong people. There's just people that can't figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And
you're right. Sorry, go ahead.
In the same way, like I heard for many people while I was looking at starting a magazine to accompany Affiliate Summit, Feedfront Magazine, that magazines are dead. Nobody reads those anymore. But now we just put out our 16th issue, and we publish 40,000 copies, and we get great feedback, and it's a great revenue producer for us, even though apparently magazines are dead. I guess some people.
Maybe the opportunities are.
Yeah, so I think if somebody says something's dead, it's probably a good idea to run towards it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, somebody who the great proselytizers of the new trends and the new technologies, of course, usually have some sort of vested interest. But also I think they're just too short and narrow-sighted to recognize that this is just merely something new in a much bigger picture. There's no doubt, I sound like an idiot to say it, you know, that mobile is hot and growing, is only going to get more and more important. But at home, you're going to, and by mobile, by the way, sorry, I should just upfront say, I tend to exclude iPad from mobile. You know, it's inherently different in terms of how you use it. So, I mean, at home, you're going to be using your iPad or your laptop to be doing more the stuff that's more like searching for information about Anguilla. You may use your phone to actually book the tickets type of thing. The last little quick and dirty steps to update your Facebook profile. They tend to be short, quick, as you're waiting in line, as you're, you know, doing whatever. But you tend to use your iPad on a train. You tend to use your laptop when you're working at home. I mean, I'm overgeneralizing, but you know what I mean. It's different things give you different ways to use the Internet in new ways, but they don't eliminate what came before. You know, emails, search engines, all those things are as strong or stronger than ever. Certainly, you know, your job is to figure out how to use those and to let your affiliate readers know how you can best integrate this to maximize your affiliate income. My job is similar. It's like, how does this new technology, how does RSS fit best into an evergreen website? Well, let's just enable the pages to be distributed. We automatically create the RSS file. We let them write an introduction. They automatically have a blog, and it automatically distributes out, and we saw an immediate jump in the results for customers. So everything new that has come along, our jobs, I mean, is really to take that new trend, that important new stuff, sitemap. I mean, sometimes, you know, to use a new phrase, we lead from behind. And we watch it carefully before we decide, you know, what's important and what's not, what's going to stick and what's not. And other times, like when Google launched the sitemap XML, go, wow, this is a major win-win for both Google and our customers. And, you know, we were the first to turn out software that just auto-generated sitemap XML. I mean, it also has other neat features that they can increase the priority score of a page, as far as I know, none of the other software does. But it's about integrating the new stuff as it comes along, big and small, into making our readers. That's how you and I provide value. And again, we go over and over, I hope I don't sound like a broken record, but over and over again, it's the same fundamentals. And the amazing thing is, along the way on that journey, there are just so many people that want to pull you off this detour and get you off, they get your money this way, and just continuously distract you to the point that the everyday person normally ends up trying to blog, in ultimate frustration, because blogging, I think, is really harder to do well than building a good content-based website. And if you're just starting with a CMS, learning curve for that is just brutal for the everyday person who starts without some sort of knowledge of what web marketing is. And anyway, I'm rambling on. Your thoughts?
Yeah. One comment I wanted to make about the learning curve there is that I have two sort of vivid examples. Since I've been doing this for so long, I wanted to get my family involved. So in the last year, I set up WordPress blogs for both my wife and my oldest daughter, who's 12, and they were both very gung-ho about it, and I spent a lot of time doing all the design and everything and getting everything all in place. So they didn't have to worry about any of the social media or that having it tied to email or anything. I did that for them. All they had to do was jump into WordPress and start working, and they sort of quickly tailed off, both of them, my daughter faster than my wife, just because they were saying they were frustrated. Apparently WordPress is a lot less intuitive than I thought it was, just because I've been in it for so long. But they were just things that I think are very basic. They were becoming really frustrated with, and sometimes they would accidentally schedule a post, or they would leave it in a draft, and they couldn't figure out why it didn't get posted or published.
That was my lesson with Make Your Site Sell, is that we really tend to take it too much for granted. And it's not that people are stupid, you know. We're not saying that. It's just we have gotten to such a level that exactly what you said, you take things for granted that are not at all intuitive. I mean, it's almost in your DNA, John. It's and the learning curve, and actually something Steve Jobs said about simplicity, you know, like something along the lines of the art of saying no. It's, you know, one of our greatest value add is the stuff that we don't tell our customers. If it's not important, if it's bad, if it's irrelevant, I don't care how hot it is, but if there's no particular way for you to use this to grow your business, it doesn't belong here. We're not going to talk about it. Somebody may ask about it in the forum, in which case, you know, like it's bad in article marketing, you know. We gave, you know, a lot of people were picking up from the outside all these systems for article marketing. I mean, we really just came down and had to slam on that. Normally, I wouldn't talk about article marketing. Or we might suggest at best that you write a couple of really good original content articles and some, you know, like or guest blogging or whatever. That's perfectly valid if it's keeping it real, adding content, so forth and so on. But these things that get out of control, the art of saying no is just as important as what you put into a product. And I'm sure you must come across a lot of things that you just simply decide, you know, this is not relevant to my reader.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I certainly get, I hear a lot from a lot of PR companies. They send out me their releases, and a lot of random people that come across my blog, they want me to talk about whatever their thing is. But so I guess in addition to having to write things and market, you have to be a curator as well.
Exactly. And what nobody sees, curating itself is actually interesting. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that in a second. But and what nobody sees, unfortunately, though, is what you do put out, your reader, your customer, they do see the time and energy and effort that goes into creating that. What they don't see is the time and energy that goes into all the stuff that you're reading and following, but you're curating out, you're throwing it out. And what are your thoughts on curating?
I guess
this is a growing trend that's interesting, and I'd like to hear what you're thinking on that.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people, whether they even realize it, are curators when they share things on Facebook or Twitter, or if they repurpose it onto their blog. I think it's essentially what my role is. I have a lot of original content, but also a lot of things I'll find an article or a press release I think is interesting, and I'll summarize it and just make it a little bit easier to digest for people. But I guess essentially anybody that's churning out content is curating to a degree.
True. I'm talking more like the, you know, like Scoop It, you know, Scoop.it, Curata, a few others.
I guess there's one platform that I've been playing with a lot lately. It's from a longtime affiliate marketer, Scott Jengro, who worked at BeFree way back.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a site called Shareist. It's shareist.com. And so the whole concept there is it's a curation site that's sort of you just sign up and you attach your domain to it, and it's just ready to go. So you just pick whatever topic it is. You can pull in RSS feeds, or you can manually add URLs so you can just curate whatever topic it is you're really into.
And if you're like me, you've probably noticed the same thing, which is once something starts gaining momentum, the first thing that happens is people figure out how to abuse it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? I'm just going to churn it out there. These curating businesses, they send me all these good, relevant links for whatever it is that I want to be curating about, And at the end of the day, it boils down to, and here comes the broken record, I mean, yeah, you can review those suggestions. You can do a great job and delete 19 out of 20 of them after either scanning or reading. The most painful ones are the ones that you have to read from top to bottom before you finally conclude, no, there's really nothing here that's really of value. And when you do find a good one, it's much more than just, okay, here's an interesting article that says this and goodbye. I think it's providing, you know, adding your own spin, providing your own clever commentary, perspective on how it fits into your particular world. So it still comes back to hard work of adding value, keeping it real. I think we're 13 years, 14 years, 15 years into this, people, I think there's still a lot of people out there through magical thinking somehow think that building an online business can somehow be really easy.
I guess the moral of the story is that there's no such thing as get rich quick.
If there was, everybody would be rich, and the get rich quick guy wouldn't sell you that button that says press here to make money.
Yeah.
So the more things change, the more they stay the same, and it's an interesting world we live in. I'd love to be freeze dried and come back 50 years from now, reconstituted, and see what it looks like, because I don't think we'd recognize it.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how it is 5 years from now.
Even 5 years from now. Anything else in terms of where affiliate marketing is going?
I guess the one other thing or two other things that I've been playing with a little bit that I think have been supposedly touted as the future for the last several years are both pay-per-call and video. And I think a lot of people are struggling with video just because of the production of it. But
mm-hmm.
pay-per-call, I think, is more in reach for a lot of affiliates, something they might want to explore.
Okay, that's interesting. Video, there is a learning curve there on its own. And again, if you look at the really good YouTube guys, the guys who generate the numbers, I mean, they're all really great in one way or another, you know, technically, content-wise, persona-wise, compelling. Each of them has got something that's real. And that's the type of thing that's hard to teach. You know, I mean, we try to build a system that is reproducible, that the typical person can come in with zero knowledge, go through a process, and come up with something totally unique that's going to be his or her own and do well with it. But what I can't do is teach somebody to be brilliant. I can't teach them to be have a tremendous on-screen presence. I can't teach them to do what you do. There's just the folks that I follow, I'm sure the folks that you follow, they don't need our product. Starting out, they probably would have done better with it and gone through a rapid learning curve. But these folks all move ahead quickly. They grasp the technical side. They grasp every aspect of it, and they just shoot way ahead. But I can't teach somebody. Remember, I went to one seminar or another, and one of the topics was building creating a viral video. And it was from one of the guys who had done it, not the Blendex folks, but anyway, I can't even remember what their viral video was. But I was going there expecting to hear secrets. I really wanted the magic on how to create a viral video. And this is, by now I'm 6 or 7 years into this business, should know better. And it was just so bland and viral video is lightning in a bottle. A few basic concepts that are obvious, and the rest is some sort of extraordinary concept that just catches people's imagination that they want to share it with a friend. And that's so bloody obvious that, you know, I was just so disappointed when I came out. So there's things that you can teach, that you can reproduce, that you can build a system to enable people to start from scratch and end up building a successful e-business. And then there's just the people that don't need it. I mean, they're just that good that they take things, they learn it, and they run with it. And I think on that note, I tip my hat to you. You've done an amazing job. I don't know how you turn it all out. How many people do you have working for you now?
Very small team. We have just within Affiliate Summit, I have one business partner and one full-time employee, and everything else is either outsourced or we do it ourselves. And so for that three-person crew plus a couple hourly people here and there, we do the conferences and our magazine and Ecast.fm, a podcast network, and just a bunch of other projects.
Well, I tip my hat to you, my friend. It's really been great talking to you.
Yeah, great talking to you, too. It's fun to catch up, especially after all these years.
Yes, it is. I hope some of our words. It helped some listeners gain a little perspective, and I'd like to do it again soon sometime.
Absolutely.
Sean, take care. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.